And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The dust has settled on another trade deadline as the push to the fantasy hockey playoffs is here. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice trade deadline recap / week 20 waiver wire edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. Like you said, the dust has settled. Maybe not the most action-packed deadline that we've had in recent memory, but we did see some significant movement. Nazem Kadri going back to Colorado is a really cool storyline, a couple of other big moves, and just an insane Sunday of hockey sitting back watching games all day yesterday as well.
All I could think about from Friday, I need a new campaign, new gimmick, because it was a trade deadline this year for yours truly. But anyways, some winners and losers, guys. Let's jump into things. You got Pete coming up with the waiver wire list, features a lot of guys that were on the move or part of, you know, moving situations. But for me, Jake, it has to be Colorado to get Nazem Kadri back in the mix, not just from a fantasy perspective. We'll talk about him a bit in the waiver wire list this week. But in general, that really completes that Avalanche team, doesn't it?
It really does. And now all of a sudden it gives them so many lineup options, especially down the middle of the ice, because Brock Nelson has worked out. It's not like Brock Nelson hasn't worked. He's been great for Colorado all season long. So now you have him, Nazem Kadri, obviously Nathan MacKinnon down the middle. You have some other depth pieces you can sort of mix and match. And I look at the rest of that central division. Teams have made their moves. I mean, Minnesota's had a crazy year getting Quinn Hughes earlier this season. Dallas is really solid, really deep, but it does feel like means Colorado looked at everybody else kind of being quiet on deadline day and thought, hey, you know what? We're going to be the ones to step up and make the big move and be the team to beat in the Western Conference.
Yeah, fantastic move by the Avs, of course. Kadri had success in Colorado when they won the Cup. When they lost him, I just felt like they missed a second-line center. And you mentioned Brock Nelson. Now you have Kadri there as well. Picked up Wah, Kulak, you know, earlier, a few days before the deadline. And, you know, because of some of these injuries, we saw Kadri make his, I guess we won't call it a debut, but his first game back with the Avs, he played with Natchez and Nathan MacKinnon. They combined for 28 shot attempts. They were all over the ice against the Minnesota Wild. So clearly the winners of the deadline. And Nick, it was fairly quiet across the board, but they get Kadri late, and you know they're 3-1 to win the Stanley Cup for a reason.
And rightfully so. And I think the big sell point for Kadri from a fantasy standpoint, obviously going from Calgary to Colorado, but the versatility, as you just talked about, he can play up the middle, he can play on the wing, and I'm just curious about the deployment, had an assist in his re-debut here with the Avalanche over the weekend. The other team that comes to mind, sort of a deal that came out of nowhere, Jake, but the Anaheim Ducks, to get John Carlson into the fold there, I'm just curious what that team looks like down the stretch, and good for them too. I mean, they had that blip midway through the season, but now contesting for division title again.
Could not believe John Carlson got moved, guys. We always talk about that one deal that's going to come out of nowhere, right? We've been speculating Kadri for years now, going up from the Calgary Flames, and eventually he lands in Colorado, a spot we speculated for years. So a lot of these deals kind of happen, and you go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Name we've been talking about. John Carlson hit me out of nowhere, meaning a guy that's been in Washington for so long. Capitals aren't out of it. I know it's been a rough season for them, but it still feels like they think they can make it, and everybody in the room sounds like that because they were devastated that John Carlson left. So what are your thoughts on Carlson in Anaheim and his fantasy value there? It is a little bit competitive. You got Jackson Lacombe sort of where he slots in. Still was having a nice season in Washington. Do you think he gets a little bit of a boost playing with that young Ducks team means?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Lacombe has been running that first power play. I think he picked up a power play goal a couple games ago. I know they got shut out last night against the Blues, but this is a phenomenal move for Anaheim. I know maybe he's not part of the future moving forward, but just getting him for a playoff run, they're now the favorites to win the Pacific Division. I think the power play has really struggled dating back to last year. It was the worst power play in the league. They pick up a couple veteran players over, you know, in the offseason. And, you know, having him on that blue line is not only going to help out the power play, Nick, but it's also going to help out some of these other young players that they have on the team, whether it's some of their forwards, whether it's Jackson Lacombe. So pretty shocking. Carlson's been among the leaders in every single category among blue liners since he entered the NHL. And he's had a really good season. I know he's dinged up at the moment, but he's had a nice bounce back campaign. I do expect him to be on that first power play, and the Ducks are obviously a team that can score some goals.
A lot of potential, and I still wonder about that team defensively, but I think the big thing for me and Carlson being moved is that he was hurt at the time, wasn't even playing for the Capitals, so out of sight, out of mind, then it happens, you know, like, wow. So Yeah, I just I've had a lot of people reach out and wonder about Jackson Lacombe, what it means for his fantasy value. And obviously, I think at some point in time, Carlson's going to get that opportunity. But in general, the Western Conference intrigues me. Like, if you were to ask me who my deadline winner was, I know I mentioned Colorado, but guys, it's Minnesota. You got the best player available this season. Quinn Hughes has been franchise changing to go with the likes of Kaprizov and Boldy. But you look at their body of work. They got Nicky Foligno. They got Bobby Brink, Petrie, McCarron. A lot of work around the edges, Jake. But if you had to ask me, which we're talking about right now, my deadline winner, it's actually the Minnesota Wild.
Well, yeah, Minnesota going back all year has been, I just think, a huge winner, right? Yeah. Getting Kaprizov done, bringing in Quinn Hughes, who was the best piece available, no doubt about that, a defenseman like that that becomes available. So Bill Guerin's been very busy. They stayed relatively quiet right at the deadline. I think they've sort of made their moves this year. They feel really good about where they're at. And maybe Colorado was trying to, you know, one-up them or you know, just kind of push forward with Kadri and his versatility that we talked about. Meaning, I think some of the teams that I actually really liked and were teams that did nothing. Teams that just kind of sat there and thought, you know what, I like what we have. Tampa Bay not really forcing it. Going out and getting a Corey Perry, who's actually scored in both games since coming back to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Team like the Buffalo Sabres, who tried to do some moves. Montreal as well. These teams that are having good seasons in the Eastern Conference that just thought, you know what, I'm not going to force it if the price isn't right. We've got a good thing going, and there's no reason to mess with it.
Yeah, I think the Perry move is underrated. He still has it, clearly. You mentioned the couple goals. He can find himself on that first power play. He's a high-danger stud. He was tied for the high-danger lead in terms of goals in the postseason last year, playing with the Oilers, who was up on that first power play, and he was productive. I see what you're saying, Nick, about Minnesota. I still wanted them to add something down the middle of the ice. When you talk about the Avs, and they can go four centers deep, you talk about the Dallas Stars, if Rupe Hintz is healthy, Wyatt Johnson, Matt Duchene, those are three deep centers. You got Ryan Hartman as your first-line center. You're off as your third line center. It may not be enough to get through some of those teams that they're going to have to get through to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, but arguably the best player in the NHL is Quinn Hughes, so it was a big get. The big loser for me, guys, is Carolina Hurricanes.
Sure.
Whether they thought, hey, they're kryptonite and the Florida Panthers are not going to be in the playoffs, we can go toe-to-toe, whether it's with Buffalo or Tampa Bay, I just felt like they needed to do something, Nick, and over the past couple of deadlines, they were aggressive. They got Ehlers in the offseason, who's been fantastic over the past couple of months after a slow start. I thought they needed to do something down the middle of the ice. They didn't do one. They didn't make one trade. I thought that was pretty shocking.
Nick Deslauriers, I mean, that's the big move from the Carolina perspective. No, but I know what you're saying, like a significant impact trade, and maybe they wondered last year, all the turbulence around the trade activity, maybe like calm the waters this year. But that is my theme with my losers here, guys. Someone make a save, right? Like, I know my motto for years, someone make a trade. I might transition to someone make a save, because that's my theme for the losers. Carolina's not winning the Stanley Cup now. I'm sorry. We've talked about this every year. Brandon Bussey's not bringing that team a Stanley Cup. Love Brandon Bussey. They didn't address their crease. Montreal didn't address their crease. I know you're going to fight for Montreal. I understand now's not the window, but they didn't solidify their crease, and they're going to get blasted for that. Edmonton, same conversation. Vegas, same conversation. I know we talked about it last podcast. You make trades for goalies this time of year, you're going to be in trouble, and the data tells us that it normally doesn't work out, but that was my lingering theme to the teams I thought or identified, Jake, as losers. Like, they just didn't address their positions in need.
I was very surprised at the lack of goaltender movement, just because we did see Binnington's name out there. I don't know what the legitimacy was to Sergei Bobrovsky, guys. Obviously, that was a surprising name to pop up, and maybe contract negotiations had fizzled out. I don't know how ready Florida was to actually make that trade, but I guess if somebody picks up the phone and blew them away, you get a back-to-back Stanley Cup winner and Bobrovsky on your roster. So there are some teams. I could throw Vegas in there as well as a team that I'm still questioning what that net is looking like moving forward. Clearly, they just hope Aiden Hill is going to figure it out and find it, which he has in the past. But a team like Carolina, meaning I looked at that Metro and I thought, who's going to step up and say, hey, there's an opportunity here to go on a run? Islanders made a move. They go out and get Braden Schenn, and you know they're kind of just happy to be there, but even they're the ones that went out and made a move. I was very, very surprised that Carolina stayed quiet, because there's a huge path for them to kind of walk into a conference final this year.
Yeah, and you guys talk about the Metro means. Why don't we jump on that? A bit of a shocker, Braden Schenn. Like, you talk about the Schaefer effect a year ago. I don't know if he's waving to go to the New York Islanders, but a franchise changer in Schaefer, and now like a destination, right? Even for a veteran who's been, you know, with St. Louis for so many years, but with Palat and Richie, maybe PP1 obligations as well. But Braden Schenn, has your mindset changed now from Braden Schenn going from St. Louis to Long Island?
No, I mean, I didn't really love the move by the Islanders. I get they're, you know, aggressive because of the Metro. It's, you know, pretty top heavy with Carolina. But, you know, they gave up some, you know, a top pick to get Schenn, who I don't really think is going to move the needle for them. But when I do look at the Islanders team, this kind of, they need a secondary scoring, right? After Horvat, after Barzal, where does their offense come from some of their forwards? So Braden Schenn, I noticed that he was on that first power play, played in the top six role. What a story, right? Cool story to see him in the same hotel. He just goes down to a different floor to talk about Patrick Waugh, and he gets to keep his room, and he moves to another team in the Islanders. But I thought, honestly, the Blues did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, I like the addition from, you know, Detroit to get Falk, but for St. Louis to turn over Falk and Schenn and get some pieces, I know they tried to trade Parayko as well. So, you know, I thought they were kind of a winner, even though they're not a Stanley Cup contender. But some of these guys that didn't get moved, Jake, like, you know, Vincent Trocheck, you know, Kyrou was rumored to go. I think it was a weird trade deadline because we didn't see a lot of players that were under contract. Like Jordan Binnington, I get it. The Canadians need a save. They're not going to trade a top pick for Jordan Binnington, who's under contract, $6 million next year. Binnington doesn't make them a Stanley Cup contender. They got some prospects in the system that, you know, they're going to be patient with this thing. But I think, Jake, it was quiet because a lot of these guys are under contract. There wasn't a lot of true rentals out there.
That's exactly it. You looked at the top of any trade board, the top 10, 15 guys, a lot of them had not only years on their contract, but multiple years at pretty good money. So that's just it's a different kind of trade than a deadline rental type deal. And teams were in a position where they said, we don't have to trade these guys if we don't want to. But you saw the Rangers come out and say, we'll trade Vincent Trocheck, but only if we're getting a fair offer for it and an offer that makes sense for us. So I think that's the smart thing to do. You dig your heels in, you set your price. If you don't get it, you move on to the offseason. You got plenty of time to think about it and trade these players. So maybe, Nick, I know you didn't get your trades at the trade deadline and you're thinking about rebranding here. Maybe wait until the offseason because it could be an interesting offseason for trades this year.
Sure. I mean, we say that every year. Come on, please. Happy to be here is why nobody made any trades this year. I think it's such a bizarre year where there's so many teams who haven't been in this position, even playing in a playoff game, are going to get to the playoffs. And I think they're all about the process and getting there and getting opportunity and experience. And they're happy to be here. And that's why I think a lot of teams didn't jump on a decision. I mean, we're going to do the Bet365 on the money segment. But how many realistic contenders are there in this league right now, guys? Like, Jake, how would you handicap things?
I totally agree with how you phrased that in terms of just teams that are happy to be here, right? And I think there's probably more contenders. Like if you wanted to be really stiff with it and only pick like three or four contenders, you could do that. I think things are a little bit more open. I think you could see a team or two surprise, but the number is still limited. And I just think what you said about teams that didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. Everybody's hopeful going into the year, but teams like the Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins, really the whole Eastern Conference, Montreal, I think they expected maybe they were going to be there, but Buffalo, meaning it's just all these teams that are thinking, you know what, we got a good thing going. Let's not touch this. Let's not mess with it too much. We'll make a depth move, and that's sort of it. We didn't see the usual suspects that we see every year at this time of the year.
You guys are spot on. You really are. The rebuild for Montreal, they're playing with house money. The only team that has more goals than them, the Avs, are just going to ride this thing out, get more experience. Nick, you're right. They're not a true contender without somebody between the pipes. The Boston Bruins, right? Nobody thought that they would be in a playoff spot, so they're just going to ride this thing out as well. The Sabres did make some moves, you know, help out the blue line a little bit. They've been the best team easily in the NHL since early December. Are they going to, you know, mix with what they have going on and shuffle some feathers? It's across the board. Right. That's why, you know, I don't fully believe in the Carolina Hurricanes, but that's probably their thinking. Like, we're not really afraid of anybody in the Metro. We're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and we'll try our luck with either the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Buffalo Sabres. And I think, you know, you can kind of say the same thing in the Pacific for some of these teams that are just kind of hanging around as well. You know, we talked about Uyghur. That was a great move by Utah. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, like Seattle getting McMahon or, you know, San Jose just kind of riding this thing out. Nashville didn't trade anybody. Hey, we're in a playoff spot. We'll keep some of our veteran players. Nick, you're spot on. I think a lot of teams are just comfortable with where they're at and they didn't want to give up, you know, pieces for players that, you know, are under term.
On Uyghur, I think he's going to see an uptick in fantasy value just because of the exposure to some of the big boys in that Utah team. Like, he might not necessarily run the first power, but I think he's on PP2 to start. But he's sheltered a bit. I mean, on the first pairing too, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. So there's that sneaky look. And that was like a big thing at this year's deadline, the amount of right-handed shooting defensemen that went. Even Justin Falk, we talked about that earlier, going to Detroit on PP2, second pairing. And some guys with some sneaky appeal just to have on your watch list. Ryan Strome, I think motivated by a new destination. I think it was a good move by Calgary down the road. They can flip this guy. Had a goal and an assist in his debut for the Flames. Depending on where he's deployed, Bob McMahon, I think, has some value. It's a contract year going from Toronto to Seattle. Dalibor Dvorsky with Shen gone, I think he's going to get more opportunity in St. Louis. And Connor Garland, do not sleep on that name, Jake. He gets the move. The new contract hasn't even kicked in. Playing with Monahan and Johnson, PP2, I think there's value there too.
I like what you said about Dvorsky in St. Louis and maybe targeting some of these young Blues down the stretch and looking at a Jimmy Snuggerud, mm-hmm. who's, you know, quietly producing as well. Guys that are still on their teams that haven't moved that I think are maybe going to get an opportunity down the stretch. We've talked a lot about the New York Rangers as well and their great schedule. We're all down on the Rangers this year for good reason. But I still look at that top six and I see a team that's going to lose, but they might lose and score a few goals in the process. So something we can maybe target for fantasy value. I know we mentioned Corey Perry earlier as well, but goals in both of his games. Something about coming back to Tampa. He hadn't scored in a long time before that. So clearly they've unlock something. His minutes probably won't be there, Meany, but it is nice to see Corey Perry back in Tampa Bay, and depending on line assignment down the stretch, he could be a useful asset for you.
Yeah, again, he still has it, man. He's got great hands, and if he's going to get an opportunity to play on that top power play, which is just so lethal, there's going to be some value there. I like the Strome shout. I thought it was very noticeable. He's going to get an opportunity. I think he played roughly 15 minutes. You got to go back to early January to see the last time he played 15 minutes. Even Parekh as well, who picked up a power play assist, you know, the moves that they've made this season on the blue line opens up the door for him, and I'm glad you guys brought up some of these Blues players. And overall, this is a team that is completely struggled. But I think for the most part, it's been because of health. Dylan Holloway is back. He's up on the top line. He's been automatic since he's returned. You mentioned Snuggerud. He's playing with Robert Thomas. Thomas has been fantastic since he's been back in the lineup. I know we're going to give some love to Joel Hofer as well. He's been automatic since the return from the Olympic break. So a lot of these Blues, Nick, you know, again, they doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. But as long as Robert Thomas and Holloway are playing and you got some of these other young players, they're going to score some goals.
A lot of value. I agree with that approach as you get closer and closer to the fantasy hockey playoffs. Pete Jensen, week 20 waiver wire edition. Let's start with the true definitive winner, and I think in our world, the Colorado Avalanche, and Nazem Kadri back with the Avs here.
Right. Kadri had his best season with the Avs the year before he left to sign with the Flames. The Avs haven't really been the same. They've been a top contender. They just haven't been able to win the cup again. Hopefully he could be the X factor in their pursuit of doing so. But 87 points in 71 games for Kadri in 2021-22. You love that exposure with McKinnon and Nietzsche's top line playing the wing. He could also play center. It's a luxury for the Avalanche. He's about 60-something percent rostered in fantasy. An absolute must-own in fantasy for the rest of the season, goes without saying. But yeah, I'm excited as a hockey fan to see the Avs kind of run it back with this guy. He's the heart and soul.
I love this next player on your list, Pete. He actually hit the waiver wire in one of my leagues a couple weeks ago, and I was able to scoop him up. And that ownership is starting to trend back up with the assignment Chris Kreider's getting in Anaheim right now. You like picking up this guy.
I do, yeah. He's on that PP1, or he is expected to remain there with John Carlson joining the mix eventually. Of course, Carlson missed the game Sunday night because he was dealing with an injury. But once this guy gets in there, remember Carlson was kind of demoted the past 2 years to power play two. Caps power play was pretty bad this year, just like Anaheim. But you know that John Carlson's always among the primary assist leaders, always a vaunted power play guy. Ovi's going to miss him in Washington. And I think it's going to be that same type of Kreider resurgence for a player like John Carlson going to a young and exciting team in Anaheim. So yeah, I like Chris Kreider. He's only 20-something percent rostered.
It's another guy, right? An experienced player they bring in, and has certainly helped that power play out a bit. Let's go to Dallas. Maverick Bourque has been in our picks and props over the past couple of games. He's been plus money for a point. Man, he's got a couple good line mates at the moment, doesn't he, Pete?
Yeah, I know you're high on him. You have been for a while. We were looking at him as maybe be someone that they would trade last year to get Mikko Rantanen. I know Rantanen's dealing with the injury right now, but he's got that assignment right now with Wyatt Johnson and Jason Robertson, two of the best goal scorers in the entire NHL. Robertson, even though he's a pending RFA, he didn't go anywhere at the deadline. So also power play two with Thomas Harley is Bork. So consecutive multi-point games. He's just up top for one of the best teams in the NHL, and he's taken his game to another level, 11 points in his past 10 games.
Pete, why don't we circle back on St. Louis? The guys are making some really good points on the Blues and how there's some untapped potential as we get closer to the fantasy playoffs here.
Yeah, Snuggerud, you look at his edge stats, he's among the forward leaders in hardest shot, average shot speed, mid-range goals, and mid-range shots on goal. And consecutive multi-point games for him as well. Five straight games with multiple shots. So get in on Snuggerud in the props market, playing on line one and power play one with Robert Thomas and Dylan Holloway. And also, how about the goalie? I know Binnington's staying, but Joel Hofer had another shutout. He's up to five shutouts this season. That's second only to Ilya Sorokin in the entire NHL. So how about some spot starts for a St. Louis team, for Hofer, that is playing with a little more freedom? The veterans are gone for the most part, and these young kids are getting asked to take on bigger roles.
Petey, I have to let you give the Sabres a little love here. We always do on the pod. We did last week, and obviously it was a great few days for the Buffalo. That game Sunday against the Tampa Bay Lightning was probably one of the games of the year, but yet again, you've got a Sabres player on your list this week.
Yeah, I was looking at Logan Stanley. I know the blue line is pretty loaded for the Buffalo Sabres. But again, you look at the list big picture and you're like, how is Josh Doan only 28% rostered, scored two goals in that 8-7 win against the Lightning, third on the Sabres in goals with 21, also third in power play points with 17, playing on the first unit with Tage and Dahlin. Buffalo just continues to keep this thing going. I like that they didn't. As much as I think that Robert Thomas might have been a nice addition, I didn't like the idea of giving up like two or three good pieces, two on the roster, one in a prospect, like a top 15 pick from last year or whatever, or 2 years ago. So I kind of like that they just kept it together and that they can keep this chemistry rolling, because you never know. I don't know if anybody's going to stop this team. And if you disrupted the chemistry, then you could look back and say, hey, we never would have known. Could they have done better had they kept the group intact?
I might have to watch that game again. I mean, 15 goals, 102 penalty minutes, 7 fights, 28 penalties. You got to go back to 1993 to see the last time something like that happened, Boston and St. Louis. Sometimes, Pete, it's about what you didn't do. I know we were kind of hard on the Carolina Hurricanes, didn't bring anybody in. I guess that does help out a guy like Taylor Hall, who's been playing with Jackson Blake, Stankoven. It's been a decent second line for the Hurricanes, and Hall certainly widely available in leagues.
He's playing well since the Olympic break, you know, a veteran guy that has dealt with a lot of injuries in his career, but having that little reset certainly helps. He's got a 3-game assist streak. He's got 8 points in 6 games since the Olympic break, second line, second power play, but we know the ceiling is high with him, and he actually does check a bunch of edge stats boxes. He's got offensive zone time percentage, even strength offensive zone time percentage, 20-plus mile-per-hour speed burst, high-danger goals, and long-range shots on goal. So a very versatile piece, and he has had playoff experience as well. So as much as I look to Ehlers as being an X factor for them, scoring some big goals, don't sleep on Taylor Hall, you know, to maybe help them tilt the scale in one of those playoff matchups.
Pete, anything else you want to hit here in terms of waiver wire? I know it's a big week for many of you out there having these convos. You know, even for me, I got a couple of leagues I enter the fantasy playoffs, but I'm on just like the border right now. I got to win this week or I'm in trouble.
I would look, depending on who's available in your league, Bobby McMahon, good category coverage. Justin Falk, good category coverage. Braden Schenn, also really good category coverage. And these guys are being viewed. They're going to get probably better assignments than they did for their old teams, more prominent roles. And if you provide those coverage, you know, categories where you have hits and blocks or face-off wins or, you know, shots on goal, and you can check some of those boxes for people down the stretch, that's how you raise your floor in fantasy playoff matchups. And even if your top guys aren't scoring, those guys could really help you win a championship.
Just one note before I throw back to you, Nick. I know it's a big week for a lot of people. This is the final week before you get into playoffs. You look, there's 13-plus games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. You look at your lineup, you know that there's going to be some players that you're going to bench. If they're not going to get into your lineup, you can drop them. The key teams, I think, this week, Montreal plays Wednesday and Sunday. Ottawa plays Wednesday and Sunday. Only two games on Wednesday, only two games on Friday. The Blues, we've been talking about, play Friday and Sunday. So Snuggerud again, Holloway, Broberg played over 30 minutes the other night with Parayko out of the line. Up Justin Falk's no longer there, so take a look at some of those teams to get the edge on your opponent for the week.
You're on the ball. Thank you for the reminder. The schedule, just to wrap this portion of the podcast: 5 games Monday, 13 Tuesday, 2 Wednesday, 14 Thursday, 2 Friday, 14 Saturday, 6 on Sunday. 56 games in total. The 4-game teams: Anaheim, Calgary, Columbus, Edmonton, LA, Minnesota, Montreal, the Islanders, Ottawa, Philadelphia, San Jose, Seattle, St. Louis, Toronto, Utah, Washington, Winnipeg. As Means brought up, a lot of games this week. 17 4-game teams. And Jake, just a final note, the 2-game teams, New Jersey, you want to stay away from them just because they don't play very often this week.
That shouldn't be too hard for me to stay away from New Jersey this
great
year.
Great deadline for the Devils.
Yeah. That's killed it. What are we doing there moving forward? That's a conversation for very much another day. I think it could be a fascinating offseason in New Jersey. But like Meany mentioned, a couple of teams that you could target there, and you'd certainly want to go on those off days. And for a lot of people, this is the last week of the fantasy regular season. So get yourself in position and always look ahead a little bit as well. I know you're always focused on this week, but if you could look at a team, target them with great schedules, and you're in a position to do so, and you see a great schedule for a semifinal or a possible final, never a bad idea to maybe plan ahead a little bit early as well.
Sounds good. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, we'll look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
All right, Petey, a busy slate on Monday. Who are you rocking in your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup?
Well, I bought Mackenzie Weegar the other day. I had some coins accumulated. You could do the same thing with Nazem Kadri, really, and get a player that is going to have an inevitable bump with their new team. We really like how Weegar is going to fit in with Utah. Utah's game the other day against Columbus felt like a playoff game, like many did over the weekend. And then Kadri playing up top with MacKinnon. It's just a no-brainer. You got to try to work that guy into your fantasy stars lineup right now.
I like that angle. It's an interesting week. Only 2 games on Wednesday, 2 games on Friday. You want to roster as many players as you can on those days. Take a look at the Ottawa Senators. Dylan Cousins is playing with Brady Tkachuk. He has 18 points in his last 17 games. You can get him in the open market for roughly 300 coins. And also the Canadiens, 2 games as well on the Wednesday, and they play on the Sunday. So take a look at the schedule, and also check out nhl.com/fantasy for our must plays, under the radar plays, teams to start. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and watch those points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Kahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. I'll start things off with the Monday slate. I like the over between Utah and Chicago, and Ottawa in regulation. The Sens are starting to buzz a bit here, Jake.
You stole the play right out of my mouth, Nicky boy. I love Ottawa in regulation here. I've actually played them the last couple of games on this road trip. They blew that game to Edmonton, and then they bounced back. They beat Calgary. Then they beat Seattle over the weekend. Now you get a Vancouver Canucks team. I don't have to tell anybody how bad that team is. So I think Ottawa, they know they have to string some wins together here to get back into this conversation. Love Ottawa in regulation tonight as well. And give me the Washington Capitals in regulation as well, guys. I know it was a tough deadline for them. A lot of players coming out and saying they're, you know, very upset with John Carlson, of course, a guy that's been there for a very long time. You get Calgary in your own barn. If they have any hope of getting a move on, and I think it is looking unlikely at this point, got to win this game. I like them in regulation as well tonight, Means.
Yeah, 3 for 3. I had Ottawa as well. I think you can take them on the puck line at +110. Cousins is a guy, 18 points in his last 17 games, got 5 goals over a current 4-game goal streak. He's -130 for a point. And there's some correlation you can do. You can get plus money if you go Cousins and Brady Tkachuk at Bet365 for a point. Stutzla's with Drake Batherson, plus money for a point. If Jake Sanderson misses some time, take a look at Thomas Chabot, make sure he is rostered as well, with the Senators having that game on Wednesday. The Canucks are 9-23-5 in their last 37 games. By far the worst penalty kill, and they've allowed nearly 4 goals per game. So Pete or Jake, one of you guys mention it. I think it's going to be a crazy offseason. Like Elias Pettersson, there's going to be some guys that are, you know, were rumored to get traded that are under contract, I think, just make for, you know, offseason moves. So it's going to be a heck of an offseason.
I'm done predicting that. It's been 10 years for me. It's can't wait for this deadline. Can't wait for this offseason. Nothing ever happens. I'm sorry to kill everybody's vibe here. But Tuesday, easy over Montreal, Toronto. I expect a lot of offense in that game. Habs will win too. Braden Schenn makes his return after like 4 days. He's returning to St. Louis. You got to play the anytime goal in that game for me. And the expectation that Bob McMahon could make his debut with Seattle on home ice against Nashville on Tuesday. I'm going to play the anytime goal there, Jake.
We get Connor McDavid versus Nathan MacKinnon on Tuesday as well, which that should be a great little prop game, and maybe play a Nazem Kadri angle. Guys, if he is indeed going to be playing on the wing with Nathan MacKinnon, and this is how the Avs want to work this out and keep Brock Nelson in that 2C role, I like that. I love that for Nazem Kadri. I'm sure if you're a fantasy owner, you certainly like that. So give me Nazem Kadri in that game against the Edmonton Oilers team he'll be very familiar with. And I know Pete's going to like this. Buffalo Sabres facing the San Jose Sharks. They welcome Macklin Celebrini into Buffalo. That barn is going to be rocking. I expect a lot of offense in that game. Guys, might be a nice little same game parlay. So attack some Celebrini angles, and I'm sure there's plenty of options on Buffalo right now as well.
Yeah, Pete's going to be tuning in live for that one. I expect a lot of offense. When you look at the Sharks and even the Ducks, like some of these Pacific teams that just play these high total games, they can score and they give it up as well. You know, you guys mentioned Utah plus 125, I think, on the puck line. I like Dylan Gunther to score. He's just playing with Keller and Schmaltz. I think this is a really good line. I think there's also some value there potentially with JJ Paterka, plus money for a point. Do like Utah with the Blackhawks in the second half of a back-to-back. And then any futures appeal on the Winnipeg Jets, guys? I'm just looking at that last team in the Western Conference who can get that maybe that last wild card spot. I see Seattle there with 67 points, the Sharks 66, the Kings 64, the Predators 64, and then the Jets 62. Kind of hot since the break. I know, Nick, they didn't do anything, but they're plus 500 to make the playoffs. You know, I'm not really feeling any of those teams I just mentioned, but one of them gonna make it.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it, I'll be honest. I think I'm just reading the chat here from Pete. Plus 400 for Winnipeg, was plus 900 after the Olympics. I just don't think this is their year, Jake. I don't know if you have anything to the contrary on that front. I just don't see it from the Jets here.
I don't mind the number and just a shot. It wouldn't be a big play for me, but just in case they are that team and, you know, Hellebuck sort of rides this wave from the Olympics. And it's really just the lack of competition. That's the only reason why I could make the case for Winnipeg. I don't like Nashville. LA, just, it's been such a brutal season for them. I do like the Sharks a lot. I love what they're doing there in San Jose. That's a team I'd be rooting for. So it really is just that. And you're chasing down Seattle, a team I think could get caught. So I don't mind. I honestly don't mind the play on the number. Still think it's a little bit unlikely, but Winnipeg to make the playoffs, I mean, what a rally that would be from where they were at the start or right before the break.
Sellers at the deadline, and then they make the playoffs. But yeah, they do have the wild card that is the best goaltender on the planet in Connor Hellebuck. Just something's been off with him all season long, at least not in a gold medal game. But over you, PD Props, what do you got for us, buddy?
I did want to mention, I like what, even though the Islanders gave up a lot for Braden Schenn, I like the idea of that guy being on a grizzled team, a heavy team with a lot of offensive flair come postseason time. So don't be surprised if the Islanders, who have played Carolina a number of times in recent years and been overwhelmed when push comes to shove, I could actually see the Islanders with Schenn on their side beating the Hurricanes in a 7-game series and maybe going as far as the conference finals. So imagine Schaefer coming in the month of May playing in the postseason. I think everybody would be open to something like that. And then Mackenzie Weegar plus 155 for a point. Favorable opponent. He's going to luck into some points by accident joining Utah in that potent offense.
Love it. Great stuff. I had to double check and make sure that Lou Lamoriello wasn't running the Islanders anymore, but I love Braden Schenn. He's a good dude. He's going to bring some hard passion to that team. You know, the former captain of the St. Louis Blues. Looking forward to that return this week. So yeah, anything's possible. Ride that Schaefer rocket if you're the New York Islanders. We look ahead to Thursday, week 20. Mailbag edition. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.